actually going to be heading into the book of Jonah. And we're going to be in the book of Jonah for the next few weeks. And so if you have never read the book of Jonah in the Bible, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework, okay? I would love for you to go and listen to the teachings in Heartstrong on the book of Jonah. It'll help to unpack some of the history, some of the details that we're not going to have time to get into on Sundays. But also, your very pastor, Ingrid, did an incredible teaching this week on Jonah chapter 3 and 4. And so if you haven't heard it yet, you're going to want to go and listen to it. And I actually also need to give a shout out to Famke, who did an incredible teaching as well. It was not in the book of Jonah, it was Micah, but it was outstanding. Girl, you can teach. Wow. So if you did not hear it, you can go and listen on our podcast. So if you listen to podcasts, they're anywhere where podcasts are found. It's the Heartstrong Discipleship Podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find it. So that's your homework. That's your homework for today. Well, as I start the message today, I want to speak something into your identity in Christ. You are the object of God's faithful love. Even when you fall short, even when you stumble, even when you're disobedient, the Bible reminds us that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing that happened last night, nothing that happened this morning, nothing that's happened in your past, nothing that will happen in your present can separate you from the love of God. And you, my friends, are the object of God's faithful love. I want to just pray into this. Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring your word today. God, we thank you for your presence that is here. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do in our hearts and our lives as we dive into the book of Jonah, as we learn from your word, and more importantly, as we learn to trust the nature and the character of your faithful love for us. And so we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree, say amen, amen. Well, you are not always going to like the next step that God is going to ask you to take in following him. And sometimes we see that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in these now moments. And as we dive into the book of Jonah, we're going to see how a specific now moment wedges him into this obedient or disobedient chosen direction. And the hard reality is that for most of us, choosing obedience or disobedience is going to cost you something. And you have to decide if it's a cost that you're willing to pay. Have you ever been in a hurry to get somewhere? In such a hurry that you noticed that there was these weird flashing red lights behind your car, ending up in a speeding ticket? Well, I remember this was quite a while ago, maybe like 15 years ago. This one summer, I got three speeding tickets. Three different speeding tickets at different times. I know I'm not a fast learner, but I don't know if you know this, but it resulted in getting a letter in the mail that said, if you get one more speeding ticket, you will lose your license because you've lost all your driving points. You have driving points if you didn't know that, and you will lose driving points every time you get a ticket. Well, you could say that receiving this letter in the mail was a now word that required action. I could keep on speeding, or I could stop speeding now. And losing my license was just not a cost I was willing to pay. So I did respond immediately, and I'm happy to say that I have not received another speeding ticket since. Well, in the book of Jonah, it is a book that is written as almost like satire. The Bible Project describes it this way. It says, this is a story about well-known characters who are placed in extreme circumstances, and they use humor and irony to critique their stupidity and character flaws. Now, the book of Jonah is very different from all the other prophets. We've just been in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. We've been in all of these different prophets. And all of those books, they focus on the words that God gives to the prophet, the words God gives for the prophet to deliver. But Jonah is not about the message. It's actually about the person, Jonah. And it's meant to confront us about our own nature and our character in a bit of a comical way. And so for that reason, Jonah is not there for us to follow in his example. We're supposed to read this story as like a mirror in our own lives. How are we too like Jonah? How are we too in need of the grace and the mercy and the rescue of our God? If you have your Bibles here today, you can open it to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. If you don't, that's okay. The scriptures are going to come up on the screen and you can follow along that way. And Jonah begins with a word that is familiar to all of us. It's a word that we probably don't say that often, but it's definitely a word that we mean often. And the word is now. Everybody say now. And it starts like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa. He found a ship that was going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, sometimes it is good to keep our options open, but when a now moment comes, it's very different. And the women in the room, we know about this all too well. When we ask for something to be done, we often mean do it now, even though we may not use those words. I want you to clean your room is very different than I want you to clean your room now. A bill is coming due is very different than the bill is due now. It's important that you keep an eye on your health is very different than a health concern where you have to intervene now. And sometimes I see my kids and they're sitting on the couch and I say, would you mind putting the dishes away? And they say, yeah, of course, Mom, I got that. And I come back 10 minutes later and the dishes are still there. And I say, I thought you said you were going to put the dishes away. And they say, oh, you meant now. Yes, I meant now. Well, sometimes God speaks through these now moments. And a now moment in God wedges us into a decision. It wedges us into an obedient or disobedient decision. And notice how specific God is. He says, now arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. You see, a now moment calls Jonah to a specific action, and it wedges him in that he has to make a choice. Am I going to follow the Lord's direction, or am I going to go my own way? You see, in now moments, there are no third options. And the Holy Spirit's often very specific in what he asks us to do. I mean, we see this all throughout the Bible. We see this in the characters and the stories again and again. All the way back to Adam and Eve, what did God say? He said, you can eat of all of the trees of the garden except one. What did he say to Abraham? He said, go from the country that you're in to the country that I will show you. He said to Samuel, I want you to anoint the next king of Israel, but it's going to not be the person you expect. It's going to be the youngest in the clan, the most unlikely. What did he say about Samson? He said that he was not to drink any wine and that no razor was ever to touch his head. And he said to Jonah, now go to Nineveh. Now, historically, humans don't really like to be told what to do. And when they're confronted with a now moment, inevitably they have to choose the direction that's going to lead to the next destination. And I don't know about you, but I love options. My personality's wired for choice. And the good side of this is that I can be very flexible. I can be very spontaneous. And sometimes this leads to amazing experiences and amazing things. I don't want to ever miss out on the next best thing that might happen. But I have to confess that this doesn't always work in my favor. Sometimes I can actually become paralyzed in making a decision because I want to keep my options open. Pastor Jason and I, we have this daily struggle. He loves routine. He loves the predictability of a schedule. And I like a schedule too. A schedule helps to keep my life on the rails. But I like to have freedom in the schedule to possibly change it, to possibly be spontaneous for what the day may hold. And so every day, inevitably, at some point in the day, we go to work together. We drive in the same car together. He sends me a text message from his office to mine, and he says, "What time would you like to leave today?" Now, this seems like a very reasonable question, and for most people, they would probably just answer. But for me, I find this very stressful every single day. I'm like, I don't know what time I want to leave today. What if somebody comes in and talks to me when at the time that I say that I want to leave? What if I have some big project that opens up right towards the end of the day? I need to be flexible and have the option of staying late if I want to, even if, especially if there's nothing else that we're going home to. Now, even as I say this, I feel your judgment against me. This is not, I really do. A lot of you are like, what are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense. I know, I really do know this. I've become very aware of this, and I am working on it, and I am trying every day to be a little bit more decisive about what time I think that we can leave work at, and because I know it's not practical or thoughtful, especially if you're sharing a car with someone. But nevertheless, options and possibilities equal freedom for me. Jonah is given a very specific now word, and there are no third choices. It is either obey or disobey. Jonah's called by God to arise and go. He's called to a specific city, Nineveh, with a specific task, call out against it for a specific reason, because evil has come up before the Lord. Now, how many might say today that you don't even need a word from God to call out against things that you see happening in the world, to call out against things that you see happening at your family? That's not even a hard thing. I mean, me too, in a lot of ways. And often my prayer is, Lord, help me not to be so quick to call out against something I see that's happening that I don't like or I don't think is right. And help me instead to be more easily given over to show your powerful love and your grace and your mercy at first nature. I mean, the very fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. It's not to call out against. And the book of Jonah is not one for us to be taken prescriptively, like it's saying God said for Jonah to go call out against Nineveh, therefore I'm to go out and call out against the evil in the world too. But instead, it's an invitation for us to check our hearts. What are the motives of our heart? Why do we feel the need to correct everything we see? Well, Jonah, for very different reasons, hears this call and he says, absolutely not. I picture Jonah like that meme that I have seen on social media where that guy is like making that face of disgust and he's like, well, I'm definitely not doing that. Like that. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It makes me giggle. And that's what I picture Jonah's face. I'm definitely not doing that. And instead, I'm going to attempt to run away from the presence of the Lord. Run away from God, the one who created everything, the one who gives us our very breath, the one who is everywhere, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful. Jonah is gonna run away from him. You are here at church today, and I'm gonna assume that you are here by choice, that you wanted to be here, that you chose to come. And I don't know what motivated you, but I want you to think for a moment of a time in your life when you were away from God. Maybe you had a season of running. Maybe for many, many years of your life, you didn't even know that it was possible to have a relationship with God. Or maybe there was a season of hurt or disobedience. I don't know your story. I don't know why you're here or what brought you here today. But if there's one thing that we can see at the onset of Jonah's life, it's that you cannot run away from God. You cannot actually be away from God, even though that's a common expression that we use in our testimonies. God is everywhere, all of the time. He's the creator of all things. And yes, we can run. We can try and run and hide like Jonah. We can deny that God exists or that he's near, but we cannot actually run away from him because he's forever faithful. I want you to see something really powerful. Jonah's name, it was Jonah, the son of Amittai. And the meaning of his name is son of my faithfulness. How is that possible? The man who was literally put in the Bible to remind us of our own unfaithfulness and pettiness, his name means son of my faithfulness. And I want you to hear something today. This was a prophetic declaration over Jonah's life, and it means that Jonah will remain the object of God's faithful love. This meaning actually had nothing to do with Jonah's nature and character. It had everything to do with who God is, his nature, and his character. Despite his disobedience, despite his rebellion, despite his complaining and anger and resentment and unforgiveness and self-righteousness, despite running and trying to hide from the presence of the Lord in the bottom of a ship, in the bottom of a fish, sorry about that, Jonah will remain the object of God's faithful love. And I want you to declare that truth over yourself today as well. I want you to say your name out loud. Shout some names at me. I want to hear. Oh my goodness, I can't hear any of them. Amanda, you will remain the object of God's faithful love. Pam, you will remain the object of God's faithful love. Come on, a couple more. Francis, you will... Alexis, I don't know if it's me, but I, you know, the muffled shouting, I can't hear it. But you will remain the object of God's faithful love. So powerful. I want us to go to the New Testament for a moment where we find a relatable story of another now moment that Jesus told. In explaining lostness, Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, a story about a son running away from the presence of his father. The late pastor and author Timothy Keller called Jonah the prodigal prophet. But in the telling of this parable, Jesus includes a now moment. In Luke 15, verses 15 to 20, it says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." God called Jonah, the son of faithfulness, to arise and go, and he went in the other direction. And we contrast here this moment in the prodigal son's life. He too went away from the father, but there came this moment where he arose and he went back to the faithful father asking for mercy, only to be restored to his position as the object of the father's faithful love. And we might be tempted to think, well, that's just a parable. That's just a fictitious story that Jesus told. But let's see also how Jesus did this with Peter. In John chapter 21, Jesus restores Peter. After Peter denied him three times, Jesus then calls Peter to love and feed and tend his sheep. And even after Peter is unfaithful, Jesus remains the object of Peter remains the object of Jesus's faithful love for him. But that isn't all that Jesus says to Peter. In verse 18, Jesus is very clear that there was going to be a cost in following Jesus. In John 21, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted." Options. "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And he said this to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now watch how Peter responds to what Jesus is asking. Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who also had leaned back during the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" He's speaking of John. When Peter saw him, so he's pointing to John, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." A now moment. You see, we're not to be concerned about what God is asking someone else to do. We are to respond to what God is asking us to do. Peter was wedged, follow or stop following. There was no third option. The prodigal son was wedged, arise and come to the father or die a prodigal. There's no third option. And Jonah is wedged, go now or run. There's no third option. You see, obedience isn't earned, but it's evident from our actions. But so too is disobedience. In the life of Jonah, watch the progress before the outcome. Jonah flees from God by going to Tarshish, the opposite direction. In this case, geography is the evidence of his heart not trusting God. And the prodigal son runs to the father by going home. So too, in this parable, the direction is the evidence of his heart towards trusting his father. And Peter decides, "I'm going to follow Jesus." And in this moment, his direction is the evidence of his heart to trust Jesus and follow. You see, when by God we are wedged into a decision, our direction becomes evident. Now, what do Jonah, the prodigal son, and Peter all have in common with us today? Well, the truth is that we are all running some way, somewhere, and the direction is the evidence of whether we are trusting God or not. What direction are you planted in today? Where are your feet leading you? Whatever direction you are headed, remember that you remain the object of God's faithful love. So we're going to dive into the rest of the chapter, Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to see what happens to Jonah. I'm going to read a few of the verses in the chapter just in case you have never heard this story before. We're going to start in verse 4. "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. When the mariners were afraid, each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us." He said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." When the men were exceedingly afraid, they said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, "What shall we do with you that the sea may quieten down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quieten down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." So they picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. And then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Well, this chapter kind of ends like the end of an episode of a TV show that leaves you on a crazy cliffhanger. And I'm not going to continue to the rest of the story. So you can read ahead if you want to find out what happens, or listen on Heartstrong, or come back next Sunday. But we are the object of God's faithful love, even when we reject him. God's grace is sometimes only received when we are in the midst of the storm that our life has created. And while the specifics of our stories are very different from Jonah's, the gospel that we have received sounds a lot like this. Like Jonah, we are forever the object of God's faithful love. And God's grace finds us in the midst of the storms of our disobedience. And Jesus' finished work on the cross is what saves us from destruction. Jonah's not a very good prophet, but that's kind of the point of this story. This book of Jonah is trying to mess with you a little bit. It's beckoning you to look in the mirror as you read it. It's asking you and I a question that could likely invoke a similar response as what we read from Jonah. The question the book of Jonah is confronting in us is this: are you okay with God loving those who are unfaithful to him? Are you okay with God loving your enemies? You see, this book confronts the worst parts of our own character, which should actually lead us to a place of gratitude and humility for the grace and mercy that God has shown us. And I would love to quote Pastor Ingrid Hieg from her Heartstrong teaching. She said, "God is poised towards us to give us grace and mercy when we repent." And so I speak over you today, sons and daughters of faithfulness. Yes, you remain the object of God's faithful love. And the good news in this book is that if God can love our enemies, then he is most certainly willing to put up with the Jonah in all of us. And so if you have been disobedient, I ask you, will you repent today? Will you turn the direction of your life and trust his leading? You're not always going to like the next step God is asking you to take in following him, but he is going to bring you into these now moments that wedge you into an obedient or a disobedient direction. And so as you reflect this week on what God is asking you to do, what direction will you choose? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you are at work doing in our lives. And I thank you that even when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. And if there's anyone in this room today who does not yet know you, may they not leave today without receiving the fullness of the grace that cost you your life on the cross. Lord Jesus, we stand in this place receiving that grace in utter humility, in utter awe, a grace and a mercy that we do not deserve. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to trust you in our following you. Help us to trust you beyond our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you and follow you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.